podium over to Mary Lou.
God, I offer myself to thee to build with me as and do with me as thou wilt, releasing from the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. I'm an alcoholic named Mary Lou. My sobriety day is January 17th, 1983. My home group is a responsibility group that meets at the suburban Y. Wow, that was many, many years ago. That meets at the Church of the Cross on Millfair Road. Okay. I have a sponsor. Her name's Carol King. And I sponsor people. What I read to you was the third step prayer, and I handed out copies of the third step prayer and then a modified third step prayer, which is just written in a little more modern language. I made a mess trying to manage my life. I approved I can't do it. Also, I want to become happy, joyous, and free, which I understand you also want for me. Therefore, I've made a decision to turn my will and my life over to you. Please release me from the prison of my selfish mind, so I can better do your will. Please take away my difficulties, beginning with my disease of alcoholism, so that victory over them can demonstrate to others your power, your love, your way of life. May I do your will better and better one day at a time. Please help me with step four inventory. Thank you, God, very much. One of the things I like about the modified version is that when it says, may I do your will better and better one day at a time. Since we're taught to live in one day at a time, and we strive to do our best one day at a time. I don't have to be perfect. Step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Last week I talked about those damn steps. The first three steps, 1, 2, and 3, are decision steps. That's the D. The next 4 through 9 are action steps. That's the A. And then the maintenance is 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. I believe that the first three steps are the foundation of your recovery. And I believe that we need to spend extended amount of time working those steps. And I think you actually have to work them with a sponsor, not just read them and say, oh, that's nice, and go on. Okay? The steps are a building block. And each step gives us something that we need for the next step. And that's why we need to work them in order. In step one, I admitted and accepted that I was powerless over alcohol and that I had made a mess of my life. And my life is a mess because of my behavior associated with my drinking. And I also accepted the we of the AA program. And by accepting the we of the AA program, that made me more open to the possibility of wanting something you might have. And so I moved on to step two. I came to believe. As I said, I had accepted the we. I was open to maybe AA could help me. And the important thing was that I quit playing God. You know, that I was looking outside myself. I was looking to you for help in managing my life. I only had to be open to the possibility that there was a power greater than me. And that openness then allowed me to grow spiritually. And I look at step two as my hope step. And then we move on to step three. You know, if there is something out there, maybe, just maybe, I need to look to it to better run my life. Maybe he or it could do a better job than what I'm doing. You know, something was working for you. I saw people getting better in AA. I saw people getting happy. I saw people getting free. And I thought, well, something's working for you, so maybe it'll work for me. And since I want what you have, I better do what you're doing. And you told me, turn your will and your life over to the care of God. And I became willing to try that. It took me a long time. I was about 16, 17 months sober when I was finally able to take that step. You know, I came in, I believed in God, but I feared God. You know, I believed that God had forgiven me for my alcoholic degradation. God had forgiven me for striking that 17-year-old girl with my car and killing her. God had forgiven all that. But I could not forgive myself. Therefore, I continued to play God in my life. You know, and it was like someplace around 16 months sober where it kind of, the light bulb kind of went off in my head, and it was, who do you think you are, Mary Lou? You know, you believe God has forgiven you, and yet you can't forgive yourself. Are you better than God? No. Well, then you better damn well start forgiving yourself. Now, did I forgive myself instantly? No. But that allowed me the process of beginning to forgive myself. And I also feared God. I feared what he might want me to do. Okay, I'm 38 years old. I'm in detox and up at St. Vincent's Hospital. And a nurse says to me, well, Mary Lou, just pray to God. Ask God for help. Turn your life over to God. And I said, I can't. And she said, what do you mean you can't? Of course you can. I said, no, I can't. Because if I turn my life over to God, I have to do what he wants me to do. And he may want me to go to Africa and be a missionary. And since I don't want to go to Africa and be a missionary, I'm not turning my will and my life over to care of God as I understand care of God. And I believe that. I'm 38 years old and I won't pray to God because he might decide he wants me in Africa. Okay. Now he didn't send me to Africa. He brought me to you, and you are my mission field. Okay. You know, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 60, at the beginning of step three. Three pertinent ideas: that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. That God could and would if he were sought. Being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will could hardly succeed. It's in collision with something or somebody all the time. If people would only do what we wished them to do. And I could relate to that when I finally got honest. You know, I was always in collision with somebody. I was always fighting, always angry. I didn't realize that this was self-will. I thought it was just bad luck. I thought God was out to get me. He was, you know, zapping me. You know, I didn't realize that I was trying to control everybody and everything in my world. I just thought I was surrounded by stupid people. And if they would just listen to me, I would be fine and the world would be much better too. I did not realize that this was self-will. Yeah. Life is just unfair. You know, I became a victim of life. My resentments and my anger grew, and I was filled with self-pity. Now, the big book told me that I was self-centered and egocentric. On page 61, he became angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is it not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Is he not a victim of the delusions that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if only he manages it well? And that's where I was at. If I could just manage my world, I would be okay. And that meant I had to control you, everything around me, excuse me. You know, I was being self-centered even when my motives looked good. Okay. If I did something nice for you, it wasn't because I liked you. It wasn't because I was a loving, caring person. It was because you had something I wanted or needed, and I was going to get it, come hell or high water. And when I got whatever I needed from you, or wanted from you, I threw you away and moved on. And that's the way I lived my life. You know, characteristics of self-centeredness. See if you can relate to any of these. Closed-minded, judgmental, unwillingness, self-centeredness, rigid thinking, and outright defiance. Today, I know that I am in spiritual trouble when my people close to me, when people in my support system say things to me like, Mary Lou, what's going on? You're really being negative again. Mary Lou, that was really judgmental. That's not like you to be judgmental. When people start indicating to me that my thinking is going along that closed-mindedness, I know that I am not spiritually where I need to be at that moment in time, and I need to go inside me and look at me. Now, my higher power's will, that was my will. My higher power's will usually looks something more honest, open-mindedness, willingness, trust, faith, unconditionally love, and caring for others. And that's what I'm striving to be today. I'm striving to move from that self-centered, egocentric person to somebody that's God-centered. Somebody that can care for other people, truly, truly care. You know, my self-centered obsession and its accompanying insanity made my life unmanageable. Acting on my self-will kept me trapped in a continuous cycle of fear and emotional pain. I wore myself out trying to control you and my world. That was real hard work trying to control everything around me. No, I don't have to work near that hard today when all I have to worry about is me. Now, always trying to force things to go my way. I was always in it to get something out of it. You know, I loved my right to be right. Anybody relate to that? I have a right to be right. This led me to expectations, which were never met. And because my expectations weren't met, I got more resentments. And because I got more resentments, I had a bigger need to control. And it was just a big, big, vicious cycle. You know? There's not much self-worth can be gained from externals, from outside. You know, I'm powerless over what you think of me. And as I tell Wendy all the time, it's none of my business what you think of me. Okay? None of my business what you think of me. And I'm powerless over it, so why should I worry about it? It moves on to tell us what our problem was. This is page 62. Selfishness and self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our problems. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be harmed. Our troubles, we think, are basically our own. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it will kill us. God makes this possible. Those are some strong words. I must be rid of my selfishness, my self-centeredness, or it will kill me. And I can't do it by myself. I have to turn to God to do that. My problem was of my own making. That was a real rude awakening for me. Because my whole life, I blame. And now this book and the sponsor I had was telling me, "No, Mary Lou, it's nobody else, it's you. Look in the mirror, Mary Lou. That's where your problems are coming from. Not the world, it's coming from you." In the daily reflections, it kind of tells us how we do this. March the 7th, yesterday. Key to turning our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. The key is willingness. The willingness to give up my pride and my self-will to a power greater than myself has proved to be the only ingredient absolutely necessary to solve all my problems today. Wow. The key, the willingness to give up my pride and self-will to a power greater than myself has proved to be the only ingredient absolutely necessary to solve all my problems today. My level of comfort is in direct relation to my degree of willingness. With the key of willingness, my worries and fears are powerfully transformed into serenity. Willingness is the key. Willingness is the answer. It's important that we remember in step three that we're only making the decision. You know, we don't, okay, I make the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Here it is, God. No. No, it's a process. I'm only making a decision. Okay, say today I decide that in next November I'm going to go to Disney World. I make that decision today. But there's a whole lot of steps I have to take between now and next November to get to Disney World before I actually act on that, you know, that decision. You know, if I'm employed, I have to make sure I get the time off. I have to start saving money. I have to go on the internet and investigate and see where I can get the best deals. I have to make my reservations. I have to call my friends in Florida to make sure they're going to be available at that time. Well, there's a whole lot of things that go on before I actually act on that decision and actually take the trip to Florida. And this is the same way. I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. And the way, it's a process. For me, it was a very slow process of actually doing it. In the beginning, I looked at God in the light of good, orderly direction, G-O-D. And that was something that I did want in my world. Even though I didn't, you know, wasn't sure about God, I did want good, orderly direction. And my sponsor and you people were showing me how I could put good, orderly direction into my life. What am I trying to turn over to God? I'm trying to turn over my thoughts, my actions, my motives, and my reactions. Okay? And I try to remember that every thought I have is a prayer. Now, sometimes when you're having some evil thoughts, think about that. You know, because God's hearing those prayers, no matter what they are. Now, step three deals with three main issues: control, surrender, and decision making. Now, control in step two, we entertain the idea that we might not need to control everything in our life because there was something greater than ourselves. And we began to try to turn this over to turn the control over to God and letting go of that control. You know, for me, the Serenity Prayer helped me a lot with that. You know, now I used to say the Serenity Prayer and I said it this way: God, guide the serenity to accept the thing. And then I thought, wait a minute. God, grant me the serenity to accept. But I gotta accept this and I don't like it. But you can do it with serenity. Took me a long time to get there, but today I understand that concept. I can let go and let God, and that does bring me peace and serenity. Surrender is different than submission, that we sometimes think too. We think that when we surrender, we're submitting to something that's gonna control us. Surrender is opening ourselves up to the guidance of a good guide. Not something that we're going to fall under control of. The daily reflection speaks on that tomorrow. Surrendering self-will. The matter of will, self-will or God's will, is the more difficult part of the step for me. It is only when I have experienced enough emotional pain through failed attempts to fix myself that I become willing to surrender to God's will for my life. Surrender is like the calm after the storm. When my will is in line with God's will for me, there is peace within. You know, and I do that. You know, I tend to compartmentalize my life. And I say, okay, God, you can have this, this, this. I'm not doing real good. But I'm doing okay with this piece, so I'm going to hang on to this piece. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take over this. And then I think, well, you know, I probably can do okay with that one. I'm going to take that one back. And when I reach enough emotional pain with my trying to control again, and trying to fit all the pieces into my puzzle the way I think they should go, and I say, okay, God, I hear you. Here it is. I give it back to you. One of the things that I do is I have a God box. And when I visualize when something that I really want to turn over to God, I write it down. I put it in my God box. And then I visualize it attached to a stop sign. And when that thing pops back up into my mind again, this stop sign goes off and it goes, oh, I gave that to God, so I let go of it again. And you know, we surrender many, many times throughout the day. You know, surrender is not just sitting around waiting to be rescued. You know, I still need to do the necessary footwork. Okay, I need to find a job. And so I get down on my knees and I pray to my higher power. Dear God, you know, I need a job, and I know you know I need a job, and you want me to be able to pay my bills, so help me find a job, God. And I pray that prayer several times a day. And nothing happens. And I pray it again tomorrow. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. You know, it's very unlikely that my phone's going to ring and some employer is going to say, "Hey, Mary Lou, we have this position that we think you'd be ideal for." It doesn't work that way. You know, I got to fill out the application forms. I got to send out resumes. You know, I've got to be willing to go on job interviews. I got to research companies so I can make a good impression at the job interview. And then I trust my higher power is going to open the correct door for me. Okay? But just sitting home praying that prayer is not going to get me a job. Now, surrender is simply letting go of the need to control, releasing myself to the stream of life, and trusting that I will stay afloat. I want each of you to think about a problem you're having right now, or a challenge, and I want you to take and hold your hands. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Cooperate, please. Okay, now hang on to it tight. Tighter. Just hang on to it with all your might. Hang on to it. You know, your muscles are tightening up. You're getting tense. It hurts. Now slowly start to open your hands. Relax those muscles. That's what surrender is. That's what surrender is. Wow. And you usually say, "Why did I hang on to that so long?" And then the other issue involved in this step is wise decision making. My sponsor, you know, I did not know how to make decisions. I reacted. I didn't think. And my initial sponsor, Gretchen, taught me how to make good decisions. And I used to get very, very angry with her, because I'd go to her with a problem, and she'd get out a piece of paper, and she'd hand the paper to me and the pencil, and she'd say, "Okay, Mary Lou, write the problem down." I'd write it down. "Now write down every possible solution." I'd write down every possible solution. And she'd say, "Write the pros and cons of each solution." I'd write the pros and cons of each solution. And she'd say, "Okay, now you decide what is best for you." And I'd get so mad at her. I mean, I wanted her to tell me what to do. And I even said to her, "You know, what good are you? You're supposed to help me. You aren't helping me." But she was. And she was showing me how to think and make wise, good decisions. And that, to me, is what a sponsor does. You know, we need to participate in life. We can't just sit by and expect God to do it all. You know, step three helps me find emotional sobriety, emotional balance. It's not a theory. I have to live it to experience it. I have to take actions, and that's the actions of the rest of the steps. Now, step three, I'm walking into the light. You know, I can sit in my self-pity, or I can turn my thoughts and actions over to care of God as I understand Him and walk into the light. Pray with disbelief, but pray, and belief will come. Pray with disbelief, but pray, and belief will come. Now, we begin to trust the process of recovery. We notice a gradual change in our thinking. Our attitudes and ideas become more positive. Our world is no longer distorted by self-pity, denial, and resentment. We begin to replace our old old attitudes with honesty, faith, and responsibility. We begin to see our world as a better place. Our lives are being guided by integrity, and we become willing to take responsibility for our actions. And it's important that we remember this is a 12-step program. It's not a 3-step program. You know, so there are some people who do the 3-step dance. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and they never go on. And they're cheating themselves out of getting happy, joyous, and free. I can't, he can, I'll let him. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, now, if you have any questions for Mary Lou regarding this step, now's the time to ask. Can you hear? Is that sound? Can you hear? Yeah.
Hi, Mary Lou. Thank you for saying everything I didn't want to hear tonight. So I have a question for you. I'm seeing the manifestations of things in my family that really kept me from being sober. Like, I've asked for forgiveness in how I did things with my children, and now I'm looking at those things happening with my daughter and grandchildren. So in asking for forgiveness for some of those things, do you find, in relationship to your accident with that young girl and the forgiveness that you felt as a result of you hitting that girl, do you find yourself sometimes going back and asking for forgiveness more than once? Or does time help? Because I find myself going back to those things once in a while. They wouldn't be going through this right now if I hadn't taught them that kind of relationship. So forgiveness for me sometimes comes in my forefront sometimes. So I wondered how you feel about that, or how you deal with that.
Yeah, it pops back up, and I don't think I really ask for forgiveness again. I say, wait a minute, Mary Lou, you have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgiven yourself? Yes. Is there anything you can do different to change the path? No. All I can do is be be an example today. And with children, you know, all I can do is show them there's a different way. They don't have to, they don't have to go through what I went through. If they do go through what I went through, I can show them there's a different way.
That makes sense. Thanks, Mary Lou.
Uh-huh. Wendy's the one I have to tell all the time. None of your business what they think about you.
Who is this Wendy you're talking about?
Okay, then I'll read one more thing. I find this very, very helpful. Page 417 of the big book. I resent the fact that it's now on page 417. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, or thing, some situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as to what needs to be changed in me and in my attitude. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Okay.